it's me, Mario. Woohoo! You're listening to the DreamStation.cc, my favorite. Woohoo!
Hello, it's Monday, May 22nd. You are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 56. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you would like to send us an email, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have Tom.
I'm cooking MCs like a pound of bacon.
Nice.
Keith.
Gazing to my dazzling teats of clairvoyant justice.
Bob.
I'd like to take my intro to review two things. Ong Bak, Thai Warrior. Awesome film, go see it. Lacuna Coil's new album, not so great, can't recommend it.
And we have a special guest, the one with the red forum font. We have Ben.
You don't bring me flowers.
This week we'll be chatting about all of the following stuff. We got our usual housekeeping session. We have what we are playing. Ben's best and worst of E3.
Really?
Yeah, you've been totally put on the spot. So you have maybe 10 or 15 minutes, Ben, to figure out what the best and worst PS3 arrogance. The quote of the week, Wii games running on the GameCube. Louisiana game bill passes unanimously. PC review of City of Villains. We have our forum question. And last but not least, our mailbag.
Mailbag!
Next topic.
Welcome, welcome. First things first, we hit 5,000 plus listeners. We spiked in the past over 6,000. We have a high bar, we've said, apparently, because people are saying that the last two shows have been really good. So our general listenership has grown to something like 5,300 or something for the May 1st show. Tom, is that about right?
I missed the question.
Because you were playing City of Heroes.
That's why we're not allowed to play.
The rule is on the podcast that you can do whatever you want as long as I'm not aware. And so, yes, that's awesome. We can't thank anybody enough. Keep spreading the word. I don't think anybody thought that we would actually end up being semi-successful here like we are.
I don't think anybody thought we were going to last through 2 months worth of broadcasting.
I remember back when we had 500 listeners and we were pretty happy about that. So we just want to thank everybody out there and all of the sites that are helping us. Speaking of which, we wanted to thank especially Godfrey over at Gamertag Radio. They did a very, very excellent job of the E3 coverage. They had a whole bunch of exclusive interviews and stuff. They're an indie podcast. They are not sponsored by a big company, similar to us, that we just kind of indies. We do it for the love. And they pimped us on the interview with John Picaro in Show 50. Everything that I've ever asked Godfrey to do, he's helped us with, and he's always helped us out. Thank you to the guys over at Gamertag. If you need anything, let us know. We have clarifications from last week's show, because apparently Chris misspoke in some of these stats that he was rattling off. Microsoft had 6 million live subscribers. Actually, they expect to have 6 million by E3 2007. The Nintendo 64 launch price was $300, but in fact, it was $200. And we also butchered the game name. The company is Crytek. The game is Crysis, C-R-Y-S-I-S. It will be published by EA. I know everyone's just holding their breath to hear that PC Ooh. Game boxes will again be standardized.
Oh, so, I did read that. What's the name of the group? The I-E-B-A?
The I-E-F.
Bing, B-I-N-G-O?
Basically, the group is the dudes, the retailer conglomerate for video game retailers. They want to standardize the boxes, because if you remember way back in the day, PC boxes come in all shapes and sizes.
I just bought a game this weekend, and I was commenting that, look, all the games I bought within the last like couple weeks are all the same boxes.
The first game that they're really pushing hard is going to be Roster Update 2007. That's basically what we call John Madden Football Series, by the way. My two cents is that, remember when PlayStation 1 games came out, and they had the big weird cardboard boxes that were...
those gigantic things. Yeah, I hated
the long box.
Yeah, so I'm very happy that they're going to standardize the boxes, because it's very hard to put everything on your shelf. I forget what game it was. It came in a giant X box. The original Unreal, it had like a cellophane hologram thing on it, and it was just, you couldn't put it on a shelf. It didn't fit.
All the different publishers were trying to outdo themselves with crazy boxes, and they would have weird shape. I remember Tomb Raider being in like an odd shapes box.
It's going to get harder and harder to get PC shelf space.
It will finally get PC gaming out of the ghetto area of the computer gaming stores, hopefully. Now that you have like nice boxes that you could stack in an organized way like the Xbox boxes are.
They were actually complaining that it's hard to get shelf space because they don't know how big the boxes are going to be before they actually come out. Although, I don't understand, you go to like GameStop and they have the pre-order box that's about 6 feet tall and it's up against the wall wasting.
Spinning in midair, surrounded by lights.
Yeah, and you're worried about shelf space. Take down the double-sized Tomb Raider cardboard cutout with the dancing midgets and stuff.
Remember the old games, you would come in a cardboard box and they would have a paper sleeve where the discs would be in. And I would immediately throw away the cardboard box, throw away the paper sleeves, and I'd just throw those bad boys in. like a normal CD holder. Now, with these plastic boxes that are made to hold the CDs, I'll actually, like, keep the boxes. So this is nice. I like this.
Hey, by the way, are you going to use the intro?
I am. For those that don't know, basically the voice of Mario.
It's Charles Martinet.
Charles Martinet. So he's actually got some audio. Ben got some audio from him at E3. We're not sure how legal it is. It's the voice of Mario saying that he listens to...
just some guy talking. I mean, come on. What? You can't patent some dude's game.
But it's Nintendo, right? Nintendo's IP. Shh, don't tell anyone. Mario listens to our show.
Do you imagine what the Nintendo thugs would be like? They show up to your house and they're all dressed in plumber's outfits and they beat the crap out of you.
They make me weird mushrooms and stuff, flowers. Eat it. It's a raccoon tail, dude. I don't want to eat it. I don't know where it's been. No way. And wear this frog suit. All right. The stats are out for the E3 Xbox Live downloady thing. They have this whole experience E3 at home. You can go on Xbox Live and you can download all kinds of demos and trailers and stuff. The top three downloads.
Wait. Top one had to be the one with the chicks because we're cattle.
No. They're not even in the top 10, I don't think.
Because they sucked so bad, but they were girls.
Boobs equals downloads.
That's why Keith's on our show.
Aww.
He's my brother. I'm allowed to say that. He's now plotting my demise. He's going to beat me with a plumber's.
He's just buckling up his suspenders. He's on his way over.
The top three downloads. Number one is the trailer for Halo 3. Number two was the Lost Planet demo. And that's a game that Capcom supposedly is pretty good. It was too big for me to download, so I didn't bother yet. And number three was the test drive demo. Same thing. I didn't download that one yet either. So the point here is that it was a success. I'd rattle a bunch of numbers off about how many people downloaded and how much throughput they used, but I don't think anybody really is interested in the details. The bottom line is that Microsoft tried something and it worked amazingly well. I would love to have some general content or even have a thing where users can put content on there like they were pimping way back in the day where Velocity Girl can upload her Tony Hawk skateboard park. I would like to see our podcast go into the marketplace, for example.
For sale?
No, I would like to give it away.
Chris, I love it when you talk throughput.
So I don't know anything about marketplace. They haven't released any details for the general public. Hoping it soon. And lastly, we gave some props to Liquid Cheese, Kobold is Dead, and Temple Dog. They're still doing their thing on the Dream Station forums about the best of shows, and Kobold is Dead has a second best of show, although he apologized to me that it wasn't as funny, which is interesting because it's really our fault that it
David,
wasn't.
Why didn't you make it sound funny?
Next topic.
So let's move on to what we are playing. Top three most played games of the past 7 days for me. City of Villains is PC, Brain Ages for the Nintendo DS.
City of Villains, World of Warcraft, and Dynasty Warriors 5.
City of Villains, and I think Auto Assault.
Tom, what have you played the past 7 days here?
City of Villains, and I played the new Mario game on the Nintendo DS. I can't remember the name of the Mario game, though.
New Super Mario Brothers? I know it's complicated and all.
I played a lot of the multiplayer games, a buddy of mine who had also has a DS, so and that was a lot of fun.
As of right now, this is not a full review, but you're thumbs-upping it.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A-.
And Ben, what have you played over the last 7 days here?
Played Tetris DS, and that's about it. Although I did get a 360 yesterday. Barely opened the box a couple hours ago.
What is wrong with you? Why would you spend all that money and then not open it?
Because the Best Buy I went to didn't have Oblivion in stock, and I didn't walk out with the game. How's that for self-control?
Xbox Live Marketplace. You can play Gauntlet.
Geometry Wars, which is true next-gen.
Ben bought a 360. Bob is going to be purchasing a 360 here. Keith has also said he's going to be getting a 360, so...
Bob's not going to buy a 360.
Bob got a job. He was doing the computer animation type thing at OSU, and he is now the proud employee of DreamWorks as a special effects animator. Is that all correct?
That is all correct.
So he'll be making such hits as Over the Hedge 2 and Shrek 3. All right, so that's what we were playing.
Next topic.
Ben, we've been stalling for time so that you can do your best and worst of E3. Yeah, no pressure. Go!
Let's start with the best, I guess.
This was not your first E3, to clarify, right?
Right. So I went last year. Everything that they promised us last year come to fruition. So games like Gears of War, which we actually got to play, which was really good. The multiplayer, which is what we played, really clean. And I'm not a big shooter fan, but for a third-person shooter, it seemed really fun. At the end of your gun, you have like a chainsaw built in. Push the B button to rev it up, walk up to someone, and then just break them off.
And I've heard you did us proud.
Did. I won the first round, and then after that, it was pretty bad.
They figured out what the buttons did, didn't they? So is Gears of War your best of E3, or is it just a highlight?
It's one of them. I'd say for the 360, that was one of the better ones. We did see, like, games that were hyped to be, you know, so great and everything, like...
Viva Pinata?
No, Viva... That was okay. It looked like it was going to be, like, Animal Crossing meets, like, Harvest Moon or something like that.
Harvest Moon? I know a guy who plays Harvest Moon.
Yes.
Only Radishes was the game. Many a husband did he have?
The Silicon Knights game. Too human. I saw that. Oh, very disappointing.
Really? They've been pimping that game for a while, though.
Well, it was supposed to come out for, like, the 64 originally, and then it got pushed back to the GameCube. Now it's 360, so whatever.
That's the same fate Cameo had, and look how that pile of steaming junk turned out.
Exactly. And so you can expect probably the same from 2Human. And you can expect it three times, because they're going to make three games.
It'll be like the first three Star Wars movies, that all of them suck.
Yeah, exactly. Metroid Prime 3, Corruption. It was great, because the Wii controller, here we go.
It was so tiny.
The tiny little controller for the Asian hat.
It was spot on, so perfect, that everywhere you aimed, the controller went.
Everywhere you aimed. But it was actually pretty intuitive as far as how you use it. I mean, again, you said you're not a big first-person shooter fan, so...
Exactly, and so it took maybe all of 5 minutes to get used to it. You're using the nunchuck to move in any direction, and then you're using the Wii remote to swing around. There's a part
that you...
Can
you just say from now on, the remote? Because I'm not going to make it through the show.
Is it Trump, the keyboard and mouse for the PC, as far as accuracy and ease of use?
God, I don't know.
Is it close? Is it in the same ballpark?
It's got to be close. For everyone who says keyboard and mouse, this is just as fast. This is just point where you think you want it to go, and then just shoot. And that's all you got to do, and it's real easy.
What kind of TVs do they have you playing these on? Like, about how big?
They're all running about, I'd say like 30-inch TVs, maybe.
Okay.
They're flat screen, plasma, whatever they are. They're running in, if not high def, you know, as close to high def as, you know, whatever system can allow it. That is true. You do have to be a good, maybe like 5 or 6 feet away from the TV for the sensor bar to read. Just think about all the stuff they can do with the motion
sensor.
Oh, baby.
No, no, I will not think about all the stuff that they can do. Especially if they start giving vibration, you know, rumble packs in these things.
It does have rumble.
It does? It has rumble?
Oh, God. I mean, it already looks like a...
They have the case. Like, did you see the gun controller shell? They have a shell that you can put... It's just called a NUR. You put the Wii inside of it, and it becomes the...
Super Mario Galaxy. That was probably my favorite game of the entire show. I was such a big fan of the original Super Mario 64. Well, all the other ones except for Mario Sunshine. You're basically going from planet to planet, and all you're doing is just going around collecting coins and then finding a little star. I mean, it was just really cool just to see Mario, like, old school platforming action. This is probably the game that Super Mario Sunshine should have been. Maybe that's why I thought it was, you know, the best game. Pure goodness.
It was pure sunshine.
Now, those were the highlights. What were the lowlights? Or is there only one lowlight?
I'm going to have to say, and I know there's a lot of fans on the site.
Say it!
Sega!
Phantasy Star Universe for the PS2. That looked like a turd.
Nice.
It was so ugly. The colors were washed out. It was blurry. They play all these games on widescreen TVs, which I don't think the PS2 was really initially built for, but it was horrible. And I saw it last year, and it was just as bad. The PC version looked a lot better. And Gran Turismo HD. That was pretty much a letdown.
You guys were saying you were playing it. The textures were really crappy. They just basically upsampled them, so all the logos and stickers on the cars were all blurry on the rally cars and stuff.
They still had, like, the cardboard figures on the side of the racetracks. Remember, like, Sega Outrun? Like, back in the day, they had the people waving. The exact same people. This is, you know, the PS3. This is 2006. They haven't done anything to update any of these, so...
I feel that everyone is really ticked off at Sony and their conference. They redeemed themselves just a couple millimeters during the actual demos, but not a whole lot.
There was absolutely no buzz behind Sony. They had Sonic, which was...
Wait, did he pick up rings? Did he run really fast?
Oh, you know what? He did.
Oh.
Really fancy.
So to summarize then, Ben, your best would be Mario Galaxies, and your worst would be the entire PS3 experience.
Probably, pretty much.
The PS3 experience.
Next topic.
PlayStation 3 arrogance. Both versions of the PlayStation 3, the Tard Pack and the really expensive one, will support Bluetooth wireless controllers. I think we got that right last
week. You mean the one I can't afford and the one I can't afford?
Will both support Bluetooth wireless controllers. I think we got that right last week, but this is just a clarification. It's also been confirmed by Sony that the HDMI port, that's the super high definition AV port, is really the only thing you can't upgrade. You can get a Wi-Fi adapter, you can get a memory card reader, and you can upgrade the hard drive. You just can't get that HDMI port. The UK version of the PlayStation 3 will cost £425. When translated over, it's about $800 in United States dollars. It comes out on the 17th of November in Britain, and the 60-gigabyte version will be probably the only one that they're available to buy for God knows what reasons. The head dude for Sony UK, whose name is Ray Maguire, said he doesn't think that it's an expensive machine, considering a Blu-ray player will cost double that. It's actually a bargain. I get ticked at that system because I want a gaming system. I don't want your crappy Blu-ray player. They're trying to swindle Blu-ray players into the home markets. DVD players were a big hit, and that's part of the another reason why Sony with their PlayStation 2 was so successful is because it played DVDs also. And at the time, that was a little bit more in the minority. Now they're trying to squeeze this whole Blu-ray player thing, which is an unproven technology. It may work, it may not. So dude went on to mention that the PlayStation 3 is a great way to drive up HDTV sales. So again, as a gamer, I'm not really caring about driving up other markets. To continue the arrogance, Europe Sony CEO David Reeves was talking about launch day titles versus launch window titles, because not all the popular titles will be available on the day the system comes out. Dude said, it doesn't matter. This is his quote. The first 5 million people are going to buy it, whatever it is, even if it doesn't have games. So that's the arrogance that we were referring to in the subject topic headline there.
Well, I'm going to crap in this box right here.
It doesn't have an HDMI port, though.
Oh, I think it does.
Tom, you may get a PlayStation 3 just because it has a Linux OS and it has compilers and tools and stuff to develop your own homebrew, preventing all of this garbage on the PlayStation Portable, and now they want to allow it on the PS3, the spot where...
You know what? Eventually, all the Linux nerds port Linux to everything, so it's not like there's not going to be a Linux on a 360, so...
Yeah, see? Likes Linux. Linux, it's good for babies.
But the thing is, though, is he's right. He can put 5 million boxes of spoons and toothpicks in a box and ship it out, and people will buy it.
Probably will.
Pretty much. I'll put money on it that the PlayStation 3 is going
to
sell out.
I think it's probably not going to fail. Would I like it to fail? I can't say that I'm, as a gamer, very pleased with the fact that you're pushing your Blu-ray DVD player on me, in addition to trying to drive up high-definition TVs, which Sony also makes, of course. They kind of tried to do this with the 360. If you guys remember, they had a partnership with Samsung. They were doing ads like, hey, 360 is good, but if you buy this sweet TV, it's even better.
Oh, I remember that.
They've come back on that. I haven't seen that nearly as much. I think we've kind of, without saying anything about it, we've already said our piece on the PlayStation 3. We've not changed our opinion. As a matter of fact, our opinion now is actually worse. I don't want your crappy Blu-ray player.
Next topic.
We had this thing about quote of the week for a little bit here. It's back. We have a quote of the week. David Yarton from Nintendo UK making fun of Sony now, basically saying that Sony is going to copy them all the time. Here's this quote. Historically, we've always been developing new things. We know Sony have had a lot of issues with their Rumble feature, and they've had to withdraw it. Because they didn't innovate, they copied. With Nintendo, I'm trying to think of anything we've copied, but I can't. I can agree with that, except for, you know, it may not be a copy, but you sure as crap rehash and repackaging and rebundling and selling us the same thing over and over.
Yeah, but they're not copying off of anybody else. They just copy off of themselves over and over.
Right.
Three guys, right back when they started the company with the original Nintendo, that thought of original ideas, and they took them and then fired them.
They're like Warhammer 40,000, where they have them like life support. They're pumping them with formaldehyde, and they're hooked up to these brain things. The body is dead. The brain is still pumping, churning out Mario title-like ideas. I haven't been to Nintendo headquarters, but I hear sources are saying that they have two or three guys in the basement hooked up to some crazy monstrosity machine. We'll move on then. I didn't say Quota League was any good. I just said we had it.
Next topic.
PC review of City of Villains. Yes, we are once again playing the City of Games. We played City Heroes for a while. Bob and Keith played it much more than me. They got frustrated with it. They started changing all the powers, nerfing everything, and they quit. We played Warcraft. We bounced around some things, and I said, well, I kind of dug City of Villains when I played it, so now we're playing City of Villains. Myself, Tom, Bob, Keith, all of us are playing.
I'm waiting for City of Ham.
It's called Quebec, my friend.
Nice. If you've played City of Heroes, you've pretty much played City of Villains. They changed some of the power sets' names. The classes are all pretty much the same. There are some differences, different enough to have a separate game. The graphics are a little better, which of course means that it runs a little bit worse. If you liked City of Heroes, it's probably worth your while to spend the $30. I got the $30 Collector's Edition DVD with a bunch of HeroClix guides and some maps, booster pack or whatever from the City of Heroes card game.
And a bag of Jack Emmett spit.
Statesman spit. If you drink it, you turn into a superhero.
Oh, God. That's revolting.
Dude, you got superpowers. How'd you do that?
I got a, hey, look, a villain. No, seriously, dude, hey, where are you going?
Without getting super crazy into it, they did do some cool stuff. They're going to have, in the next patch, you can just have mayhem missions, which are, you run amok in the city, and you can beat up the civilians, and you can destroy property and stuff. Pretty cool. They added the ability to do bases with sort of a weak-ish crafting system. So, Bob, you were probably the most vocal in saying that you didn't really want to play this, and you felt kind of sort of forced. What do you think of City of Villains?
I tried playing Auto Assault as a game we all could play, but Chris is Xbox kind of can't handle auto-assault, and I don't think he really cared for the gameplay very much. So we were like, okay, we want a game all of us could play. So we went, so Chris started playing City of Villains again, and Keith said he liked it. You know, I think I had mentioned on the show that I never, ever, ever wanted to play City of Heroes ever again. Problem that City of Heroes had, City of Villains has, meaning they do a bunch of bizarre rules and tweaks with all of the powers. There's really no compendium of, for an example, there's an assault power that's supposed to give you a bonus to damage, and rather than just you take the power with your guy and you get some bonus to damage that you also give to your group, they tweak it so different classes have different bonuses. So if you take it as like a melee class, you're not going to get the same bonuses if you take it a dominator class. Just bizarre stuff. Anyway, the game, when I initially liked City of Heroes, it was a very clean game that was easy to play, and then they did all these real strange rule tweaks for PvP. City of Villains still has all these real weird rule tweaks. Reason I'm able to play this now is because with the new classes, I don't notice, because we have no idea how the new classes are supposed to work. So given that, it is a very easy game for you and your buddies to sit down and play for a couple minutes, get something done, feel like you accomplished something. It is not a grinder. You could easily sit down and grind your way through the game in a few weeks and get to level 50 and be like, oh, that's it. But if instead you like us and you like superheroes and you like the feel of doing something like a bank heist or kidnapping somebody.
Well, I mean, the one mission was go to this warehouse and kidnap the homeless, load them onto a truck so that crazy scientist guy can experiment on them.
So it's got a really good feel to the game. So you'll really feel like a supervillain. If you want an MMO that's going to take months and months to defeat, and go play Final Fantasy. Unfortunately, I think that's what City of Heroes' biggest problem is, that they got, once World of Warcraft came out, they lost a lot of people in there. They're doing good business, but as far as MMOs go, I don't think, they're probably second.
At the best, they're second.
They're trying desperately to get more people to buy the game, so they keep tweaking it to get more like World of Warcraft, and that's where their problem started. The best thing City of Heroes could do to get more clients is go back to the way it was, clean up the game, stop focusing so much on PvP, appeal to the casual gamers, keep the superhero feel to the game. It's stupid stuff that they tweak for PvP, and it's ruining the game. Stop it.
One thing to really note is, and I think Bob hit on it, but I'll just come out and say it. The biggest reason that I like this game is because it's very co-op. They have these systems where there's like mentoring, there's sidekicking and mentoring. If you come in and your buddies have been playing for weeks and weeks and you're only level, I don't know, 5 or 10, and they're all 50th level, they can bump you up to the level. You're not really 50th level, but you fight as if you were 50th level. So you could go in, you can group with them, you can have fun with them. You can do the reverse. If you, a bunch of newbies, have a friend that's super high level, he can come all the way back down.
And that's the big difference that none of the other games have.
It's a very easy game for everybody to sit down and play.
Travel is quick. You can get from one end of the board to the other very quickly. There's not a lot of, let's run for 20 minutes or let's wait for the ferry or whatever.
It definitely has a thumbs up. Bob and I are pretty much exactly on the same wavelength with this. Stop trying to make it a PvP game. When they initially made the game, no, we're not PvP. No, we're not PvP.
Tom, you were having a little bit of, I mean, you're not an MMO guy, so some of the concepts of conning mobs is a little foreign to you.
I dabbled a little bit in EverQuest.
What do you think of the game? You're a big comic book fan.
I am. I do like comics. I do like video games. But this, so far, this game has actually been pretty boring. I've kind of followed you guys around. You guys tell me what to attack, and I go attack it. You guys kind of die, and I try to hit my heal, and that's about it.
We are the Death Touch to games, because we have played them so much that when a new person comes into our group, we turn them off completely because we don't allow them to learn.
What you really need to do is sit down and play the game without us for like a good 5 hours one of these times and really just get into the feel of it and learn what your guy is supposed to do and maybe group with some other people.
Make a new guy, do the tutorial.
That makes all the difference in the world.
So let's give it numbers then real quick. If I had to give it a number, I would probably give it an 8.5 or a 9 out of 10. I think it's one of the best, if not the best MMOs I've played because it's so casual friendly. I feel that I don't have to play it every day like a job. Bob and Keith get a couple levels higher than me. They can bump me up so everything's good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give it an 8. Back when it was issue 4, or whatever, I would have easily given this game a 10. But since then, they've crudded up all the rules. It's getting kind of confusing. You know, I was in the beta, so if anybody should understand how the rules work, it'd be like, you know, me and Keith and, you know, Chris, because we've been playing for so long. And I still can't understand how the majority of them work. They keep changing them, and it's not as clean as it used to be.
What Bob said.
I don't think it's fair for me to grade the game right now.
Next topic.
We have Wii games running on the GameCube. Ben, we're going to look to you on this one. We did cut part of this. From last week, we were talking about the E3 show. part of what I cut, because we had a lot of recorded time for only a 30 to 40 minute show, there's some speculation or some confusion about the Nintendo Wii actually not running on that hardware. It was running on GameCube, supercharged GameCube hardware. So what I have seen is that the Wii dev kits are actually just superpowered GameCubes. So Ben, you actually asked Nintendo specifically, what's the deal with all this, and what did they tell you?
They told us no, and they basically told us that there's something else underneath in that case, which is identical to the Wii hardware, or what they have finalized of the Wii hardware. I have seen the pictures. There are GameCube actual consoles in there, but that is Wii hardware inside the GameCube.
GameCubes on roids.
Pretty much.
Our forums were, some people were a little bit upset. They were saying we were kind of fanboyism display there. We made fun of Microsoft. We made fun of Sony because Microsoft faked the 360 at the 2005 E3. We make fun of Sony because they faked the PS3 at this year's E3 because it was running on computers. Why didn't we make fun of Nintendo, and how come we're not all up in arms about that? PS3, I don't think they tried to do any smoke and mirrors. They were pretty much like, look, here, it's running on PC hardware. The Sony hardware is not finalized. There's so much hype and so much background around Sony that that's not a fair comparison. The second thing is that the Nintendo Wii is not about graphics and power. It's not about how much polygons can we throw at you, whereas the Microsoft had these dual G5s running to try and fake all this great performance. I think the Nintendo Wii stuff looks a little better than the current gen GameCube. That's fine. That's wonderful. But it's more about the fact that it's innovative. It's not a faking look. We're faking it so that it looks like it's much more powerful than it really is. If you need a sweet cluster of PCs to play your games and make them run at a decent frame rate, to me, that's a lie. If you don't have the hardware finalized yet and you're just using dev kits or something comparable, I think that's okay. When you show us the Kill Switch trailer and it's obviously just crazy looking, then we question. I don't think that was the case with the Nintendo Wii.
The graphics with the Nintendo were easily achievable. Probably played the majority of the games on a PC.
I like things that are easily achievable.
Then get some 2K games for your Xbox, because they have those achievements that are like, put the disc in, 200 achievement points.
There was nothing really fancy about what Nintendo was trying to do. So when Sony showed us something and they were like, oh, well, this is actual gameplay. Well, they were showing us actual gameplay, and it's not like it was far from what we're going to end up with. It's somewhere in between the GameCube and probably the Xbox 360s.
I think we've pretty much defended our Wii fanboyism.
First, we're ripping on Nintendo too much. Now we're not ripping on Nintendo enough. Make up your f***ing minds.
Everybody's got their fanboy system, and I think we're equally discriminatory to all of them. We hate them all equally. We love them all equally. Except for, I will admit, as of late, the Xbox is going higher and higher. The Wii is going higher and higher. The PlayStation 3 is going lower on my priority list.
Next topic.
So, the Louisiana Game Bill passes unanimously. The Louisiana House, that Louisiana, for those of you who aren't in the know, it's a state in one of these 50 United States. Their House, which is their governing body, passed 102-0 a video game bill. Most of the people who voted for this video game bill said that they don't think it would actually get past the First Amendment, and when it was bumped to the next level, it would be had to vetoed, or it would have to be rewritten or something. What this law would do, the bill is supposed to allow judges to remove a game from store shelves if deemed inappropriate, with very vague definition of what inappropriate is. This is nothing new. We've heard this same type of stuff before as far as vague laws that are totally up to a single person or a couple people's interpretation of some rules. There's no hard deadlines to it. There's no hard facts. It's not going to go through the House, but they continue to waste both time and tax dollars with this trivial, stupid trips through the legal system. What's interesting to me is that time and time after, again, they're not actually seeing this ahead of time. We're paying these people to know all this stuff. It was passed 102-0. They're like, yeah, we know it's not going to make it, but let's just do it anyways. Am I the only one that's bothering so much?
It's proving a point, Chris. The politicians care about the children.
Here's the sad part about it is Louisiana is such a wreck right now, and this is what they're going to focus on.
The city of New Orleans is barely there, so very, very good point, Ben. So Louisiana, get your crap in gear, and just everybody just quit. Stop. Make an actual law that has actual stuff and substance, and that you're not saying, well, I don't think it's going to go, but let's just try it anyways. Waste taxpayer dollars.
Just do like you do with the movies. Set up some strict guidelines, you know.
But that's what the ESRB is supposed to be. It's a rating, and it tells you, in order to be an E for Everyone title, you can't have any violence, you can't have any substance abuse. If you're a teen rating, you can have cartoon-like violence, and same thing, you can shoot people, but they can't bleed. Well, part of it is that it's not a government getting involved. The movie rating system and the game software, the ESRB rating system, are all independent. They're not government-controlled, so the content is totally up to this review committee.
The real problem is that no one plays these games, whereas the motion picture industry, they'll have a panel and they'll actually sit through and watch the movie, because you can do it in 2 hours, 3 hours.
You don't have 200 hours to play through Oblivion all the way.
Next topic.
All right, it's forum question time. We've ignored poor Philip Willis for far too long. Go to dreamstation.cc and check out our general forums there on the left-hand side.
And you too can be ignored on the show.
Our current poll, I use the word current very liberally. Philip Willis wrote in and asked us, what influenced you the most in deciding what games to buy? Video game magazines, online reviews, recommendations from friends, box art / information, or dreamstation.cc? What are the stats there?
Well, consulting the nipples of clairvoyance. Online reviews had the most, 52%. Video game magazines and recommendations from friends tied at 23% each. Box art had no votes whatsoever. Surprise. And Dream Station had one vote.
Yeah.
For...
Good job, Bob. Thank you for voting.
So the one person was like, yeah, Dream Station. I think I know
you
who that
suck.
Is. Many people didn't like poll options.
I saw there was some discontent about...
Poll lacks demos and video screens, the two of which I base my opinions on, mainly on not voting. Well, you know what, Garlis? We didn't want your vote anyway.
I want your vote, Garlis.
No.
Vote again, Garlis.
No.
Ignore them. I did. I saw that. People were like, you forgot this and this and this, which is very,
well,
very...
Well, we didn't make up the poll question.
We're going to throw Philip Willis under the bus.
Rube fan said, one thing that influences me mostly is podcasts. If I hear about a game in a podcast and that people who play games actually like it, I might go check it out. But he voted game magazines because he does read them every now and then. I get Nintendo Power, and my worst game for the DS is Dig Dug Digging Strike. And that was a birthday gift that I didn't ask for. Oh, well. Now, what the hell that has to do with the topic? I have no idea. Thanks for the ham play again. I guess that would be Video Game Magazine. See, Icy Midnight said, I prefer recommendations from my friends, because I also often get to try the games for myself. For the most part, he doesn't trust reviewer online video games to review games without input from their advertising department. I've seen good reviews for crappy games all too often.
Let it be known that we don't get paid, ever.
Alter Weapon said, box art info is the worst way to judge a video game's quality. Every game claims to be the best game you could possibly buy, even when it's poorly made. Actually, I don't even think that was his quote at all. I think that was the continuation of the other guy's quote. But still...
Yeah, I've never actually seen a box art that's like, the second best MMO ever.
A pretty good online game. Tell your friends about it, or not.
Zap said reviews, usually, though I can sometimes be suckered into buying something if it had a good trailer. I've been guilty of as well. So. What Alter Weapon really said was, I'd also say Blockbuster. Usually if I can't rent it first, I won't buy it. That's how I pick my wife also. That in magazine reviews. And then lastly, Master Chief said, easily video game review sites like IGN and GameSpot. He didn't mention Dream Station, but, you know, I hate listening to fanboys tell me what is the best game, even though it's a piece of crap. And that wraps up your forum topic.
How do you buy your games there, Tom?
You kind of catch the buzz that's going on the internet, because I'm looking for what games are going to be big multiplayer. You know, in the last couple of years, that's almost been exclusively first-person shooters on the PC. You know, the big titles, the Battlefield 2s, the Call of Duty 2s, really A-list PC titles that are FPS.
Next week's poll topic is care of Major Clinton Boyd. Where do you do most of your gaming? Number one, at work? Number two, at home? Number three, at school? Number four, on the pot? Are you inputting video game excellence while you are outputting video game excrement?
Nice. I think that's our show. Inputting video game excellence while outputting video game excrement.
Next topic.
All right, here we have the mailbag.
Mailbag,
we've ignored you for far too long. This one is from Aaron Lee. Aaron asks, hey, I was wondering if you guys had a phone number that I could call in and ask some questions to answer on air.
No.
Yes, if you call Monday between whenever we start and whenever we finish.
I mean, we don't have enough slots in the call to let all of our people into the show. Poor Phil is locked out as we speak. But what you can do, honestly, is send us audio questions. We give preference to audio questions. So if you send us some recorded audio, we will answer those on air as the highest priority. If you're going to IM me or whatever, that's a horrible way to do it, because I'm not going to remember to bring up your question in the show. This one is from Winston Avil. Dear Video Game Show, hey guys, this is Winston. I'm a 14-year-old, and my favorite game right now is Halo 2, but I'm sure the favorite game will change in 2007. I finished listening to your show about E3. Pretty sure you didn't even mention the Halo 3 trailer! 14,000 exclamation points.
Nope, that wasn't a mistake.
I'm sending you the URL to download the video in case you did not see it.
Oh, we saw it, and just like everything else with Halo, I was underwhelmed.
I don't think it's anything new that they're going to have a Halo 3. I don't think it's new that they're going to have a Halo 4, 5, and 6. They're going to milk this as long as they can. The graphics, I mean, it looked all right. I don't know if it was in-game cinema. I believe it was. I think that's what the rumor mill has said. It was a teaser trailer. We did see it. We are not huge fans of Halo. We understand why people like it. We do not like it. All right, this one is from Al from... How do you pronounce this? Saskatoon, Canada?
Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan?
The Providence?
S-A-S-K-A-T-O-O-N. All right, that was the funniest moment in the show's history. When did you eat this Funyun?
That's the problem. He didn't eat that one Funyun. If he would have, there would have been no spiders.
I don't think we have Funyuns here in Canada, but I'm sure I've had similar moments in my married life. You should probably have this in your show notes. He sent me a link to the Frito-Lay Funyuns page. Attached as a segment to save you the effort. You should post it on the website. Highlight of the year so far. Thank you. Heather, for all of us listeners.
You don't know what you ask, man.
Vlad, this one of these XXX, Vlad XXX. Hello, Chris and crew. It's Vlad XXXXXX from the forums. I'm writing this in regards to Sony's decision of making two versions of the console. I could care less if they removed the Wi-Fi function, as it's something that I could never use. Due to the fact that I prefer a good old hardwire connection, and after hearing from my friends on how bad a wireless connection is, I want nothing to do with it. As for them getting rid of the HDMI port, I could care less. I don't plan on dumping $5,000 on a TV just to take advantage of it. This is on the $500 model. I know it's still a lot of money for a console, but hey, I have enough money for it saved up, and it will be here soon. My comment on that is, that's still a heck of a lot of money, and because they're pimping the high def so much, I think that you're probably going to want to go ahead and buy an HDTV, or at least, you know, run it into like a computer monitor or something, an LCD monitor, for example. Those are not nearly that expensive, and you can, at least for the 360, buy a VGA adapter. That may be something you want to think about. Blu-ray, the whole purpose of Blu-ray is high definition content. Blu-ray is a larger capacity disc, so you can get a lot more audio-visual content on there. So if you're going to go ahead and watch it on your 27-inch blurry TV, really not worth it.
The Blu-ray would be better than, say, your DVD player, right?
Blu-ray is higher quality because it has a lot more content on there, yes.
What the difference does it make between a CD and a Blu-ray?
NTSC resolution, pixel resolution, is 720 by 480 or something.
480p or 720p. I am not an audio guy or a visual guy.
And if you show that on my computer monitor, dude, it is really, really small. There's not a lot of visual information on there.
I mean, in English, Keith, the way to do this is you have your MP3. We have an MP3. It's 5 megabytes when it gets all squished down and compressed, and it doesn't sound nearly as good as if you had it in its all its full-blown glory, hundreds of megs of WAV file uncompressed. It's a similar type of thing. Because you have much more capacity on that disc, you could have that thing blown up to the biggest possible picture, and it looks like you could see Frodo's head on your giant TV and giant resolution on your screen, and it's just as crisp and clear, rather than if you have it very small. When you have it on a high-def TV, it's like when you come to my house and you watch TV, you're watching regular TV, it looks like crap because it's all blurry, it's all stretched out, it looks retarded. If you play the Xbox 360, it's in high-def, so it looks very crisp and clean and neat and nice, and it's that to the next degree. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In order to get 1080p out of something like the PS3, you need the HDMI output.
But again, you need a TV to support it. Ben said you need the cables to support it. You can't just go and buy the cheapy Radio Shack $599 cables. You're going to have to buy actual high-def component cables, which for the Xbox, I want to say it's $40. Then again, I'm not an expert on this, but I know it downsamples it, that if you do not have the HDMI, you may have the prettiest picture on that Blu-ray disc, but when it comes off to your TV, it's chopped right in half because you don't have the right stuff.
Right. And so that kind of defeats the purpose of them saying, oh, well, we're going to have 1080p.
Really, the purpose of it isn't to make you have the best gaming experience. The purpose is to sell Sony Blu-ray discs.
Technology.
You know, cords, Sony cables, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's do one more email here because the show is getting a little long in the tooth. This one is from Al from Portland, Oregon. He says, wasabi, guys. I've been listening to your shows since the beginning. Very smart and witty. For a bunch of regular guys, your show has an awful lot of polish to it. Anyways, what the F is up with Street Fighter 2 on Xbox Live? Those punks over at Xbox Live won't even give us an update. I've heard nothing else. I keep hearing soon, soon, soon. It's Street Fighter 2, dude. It's been done for the last 15 years. I'm not sure what we're waiting on. I'm not sure what the windup is. There, when we get info, we will give it out because Street Fighter holds a special place in my heart. So I don't have an update on that one.
And that's the show, because that's all I want to edit.
Next topic.
Yeah, that's pretty much the show. I think we've done a whole bunch of stuffs. We have more emails that we're going to get to, but this was the DreamStation.cc video game show number 54. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to send us email, and again, audio questions, comments, suggestions are very welcome. Videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Again, thanks for all of the listeners. We've broken the 5,000 mark. Spread the word. Get us up there.
A disease.
Same time next week. If you guys will have us back, we'd love to be there. Does anyone have anything else here?
I do. Since you probably won't have me on again after this fiasco.
No, that's
Yo, we say that every weekend. We're like, oh my god, I can't believe this is how the show went.
You know, because I have a cousin who's going to Iraq soon. Just wanted to just thank the servicemen and women who are out there doing protecting our freedom, our country,
our freedom to bitch about video games.
But exactly. Just so we can do stupid stuff like play video games all day.
No, I totally agree. I mean, in the grand scheme of life, we talk about video games. We try and keep the politics and everything else out. But there's an awful lot more than video games going on in the world. So yes, I second everything that Ben just said.
I've heard you read emails from service people who are...
Major Clinton Boynton gave us the forum topic.
If not inactive, going somewhere and... Yeah, it's just...
All right, well, thank you, Ben, for being on the show. We hope to have you back at some point in the future. We'll have to apologize to Phil this week for being late to the party and not being let in. The door was already locked.
Hiding in the dark, silent.